5.
I belong, King, I am child of His love, in His presence of God. His own, and the bar, and His children in slender I belong to the King, I am child of His love, and He never forsake His own. I shall dwell by His glorified throne. I belong to King, and He loves me, I know, for His mercy and kindness are free. And unceasingly my words are ever thou go, and I take care of Thee. I belong to the King, I am child of His love, and He never forsake His own. I belong to the kingdom above, by thy water so pure, when the life with its trials is found. I belong to the King, I am child of His love, and He never forsake His own. He will call me someday to His palace above. I shall dwell by His glorified throne.
That's all praying one accord.
In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we shall continue our study in the book of Hebrew. Yesterday, we have lost our marker. Okay, pink. Where's the red one? Somewhere, I left it somewhere there. Yeah, brother, can you look on your pews to see that if you see any markers? All right. And the eraser. And, well, yesterday we talked about the book of Hebrew, and overly we keep on saying that book of Hebrew is about a higher, a greater, and a more beautiful salvation, a greater hope, a higher value of life for you and I to pursue after. That's the idea. That's the whole idea of the book of Hebrew. Okay, so we enter into chapter 1, and we talk about the value, the reason that Jesus Christ was able to receive honor, that he was able to live out a different life and demonstrate different value in life. Right? So, in chapter 1, if you go to chapter 1, there are three things that were mentioned. Number one, he was the true image. Second, he uphold all. Third, he redeemed, he purged our sin. Right? So those are there are three descriptions about Jesus Christ. And right after that, he says that his name is more glorious, more honored, and more excellent than that of the angel. Right? So remember, if you want to have your name be more glorious and honored, be excellent in the eyes of the Lord, you also need to live out the true image of God. You also need to use your life, dedicate yourself for a greater meaning with a mission, not the mission that the Lord entrusts in your life. And lastly, you also need to submit. Make sure that we are able to find out the mission of our life and we are able to gather all our courage, obey the instruction from above. Okay? That's what Apostle Paul said, that he never reject the message from above. Okay, that's in the book of Acts when he was defending himself. He says that, yes, this message, this instruction from above, I never deny, I never reject. Okay? So even it means that by obeying the message, you might need to live out a different life. Okay? Apostle Paul, think about that. If he did not obey the message from above, what might happen in his life? He might end up very successful, right? Somebody who came from a very powerful family background, somebody who is very well educated, and he was also considered as a great philosopher in that generation. Okay? So he's a man with networking, a man with family background, a man with high education. Oh. So you know, anything that you are pursuing after, he owned it already. Okay? But look at his life. What happened at the end of his life? He was a poor man, an old man in jail without anyone there with him. That's why in the Second Timothy, he said that everyone left me when he was in jail. Okay? So can you imagine that by making a decision of picking a different way, the result, the end of his life, is not so glamour, is not so successful in the eyes of the world. Okay? We might feel that, hey, by following Jesus, I shall have the good opportunity, I shall become very successful, I shall receive a shower of blessing, so my life will be so good, this and that. You know, sometimes we feel that life is about, believing Jesus is about a good life. But if you look at life of Apostle Paul, he made a choice. The choice led him into imprisonment. Choice led him into poverty. Choice led him into great persecution. But at the end, Apostle Paul said that a crown of righteousness awaits for me. Okay? So you know what? Yes, life, you have to make a choice. And sometimes the way, the path that the Lord prepared for you might not be so shining, might not be so fun, might not be so beautiful. It might require you to do a lot of suffering and you might need to do a lot of sacrifice. Okay? But what counts, what really matters, is the very last moment in your life when you are about to go, who waits for you on your bedside. Okay? When you are about to close your eyes, are you seeing angel come and ready to take you to glory. Or you will see a dark figure and say, whoa, my friend, time to go. Okay? So, you know, that's a choice. That's a choice. Okay? So, in here we see that by obeying. See, here says that he obeyed and he purged the sin of the world. What's the price that he paid? Crucifixion, shedding blood, being beaten, live in a life of agony. That's the price that he paid. But because of the price that he paid, here says that his name is more excellent than anyone else. Okay, than anything, than anyone. Okay, so that's what we covered yesterday. As we say that in chapter 1, chapter 2, the focus of the book of Hebrew, the author is making a comparison. The author is making a comparison between Jesus, the Son of God, versus angel, who at that generation, many people adored. At that time, many people adored angel. They even worship angel. They even worship angel. Because angelic beings is spiritual. So they feel that, wow, spiritual. Spiritual. So there are people, many people worship angelical being, or should I say they worship supernatural power, supernatural phenomena. Okay? But in here, the author of Hebrew made a comparison. Right from the beginning, he says that, am I doing all this in vain? Because there's nothing came out. All right. Imagine in your mind, there's a line in here. Okay? And nobody found my marker, huh? Thank you. Very nice of you. If it works. It works. There you go. Let me give you another one. Here. All right? So you know what? If we make a simple comparison, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, it compare the specialty, the differences between Jesus and angel, trying to remind that Captain America come for delivery. All right? So, I hope you read it already. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, I hope you read it already, because it makes some comparison between their differences. Number one, sonship. Servant. Okay, so from the very beginning, the author of the book of Hebrew immediately point out what's the biggest difference is that Jesus Christ owns the sonship. Angel is only for the purpose of servitude. Okay, so because the status is different, that's why the value is also different. Okay. You might have a very powerful, very smart employee, or, you know, as a parent, a very smart, a very able friend's child is always someone else's kid, okay? It's someone else's kid. Even my son or my daughter is not so special, is not child prodigy, is not this and that gift. All this. You know, you might look at other people's children and, wow, pretty good. But at the end, you would not say, wow, this kid's so smart, so good, I'm going to take him home. This one, just leave him on the street. Maybe someone will pick him up, okay? You will never do that because what? There is attachment. When there is a sonship, there is attachment. But if it's only a servant, even the servant is very able, very capable, very smart, very talented, at the end, it's only a servant. When you have a family business, that at the end, the manager that you hire is always employee. You wouldn't go to the manager and say, hey, you are much better, much more able than my son. So why don't I give you the entire company as a gift? You never do that because what? There's an attachment. Okay? So just this alone, the sonship is way better and way more important than the status of servant or slave. Okay? And second, it talks about the duty or the job. In chapter 1, in chapter 1, verse 6, here says that the firstborn into the world and let the angel of God worship him. In verse 7, who make him angel spirits and his minister a flame of fire. Okay, so here, being worshipped. Minister. Ministry, huh? Serve to you, huh? It's just there to serve. Huh? Number three, sitting on the throne. That's in chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter and righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. In verse 8, it says that, but to the Son, he says that he's on the throne. Huh? And in verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit the salvation? Okay? So this one is sitting on the throne and... Chapter 2, verse 16. Here it says, for indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Okay? On the throne being worshipped, not spared. Okay? So, now there's a comparison between the differences. First of all, the status is different. Second, the duty is different. Third, the location is different. So here says that when angels sing, fallen angel, when angels sing, God showed no, God did not spare them, God did not. So where did they end? When fallen angel end up in hell. Okay? God does not spare them. Okay? When as a slave, as a spirit of ministry, you fail, you done, you gone. Okay? That's why God in here says that God did not spare angel. But for sonship, it's different. For son, right? The son is meant to be on the throne, to be worshipped, for you are the son of God. Right? And here, it's not only talking about Jesus. You talk about Jesus, and you talk about the seed of Abraham, you and I. Okay? So for the seed of Abraham, from which is us, since Adam and Eve, the whole world is under the power of Satan. But from the seed of Abraham, which is the descendants, the spiritual descendants of the saved people, you and I, when we become the seed of Abraham, the spiritual descendants, the promised children of God, then we are able to be spared from destruction, but sit on the throne for judgment. That was in Luke chapter, what's the verse? Chapter 20? So that's the differences. Angel is a spiritual being looking beautiful. It might seem beautiful, powerful, but in here says that the only duty, the only meaning in their life is to serve God and serve you. Okay? Serve God and serve you. So, we do not need to admire and let alone worship. Okay? Today, you might not, you won't. Today, you will not worship any angel, even angel appear to you. Okay? We are in TJC long enough to know that. Yes, even today, angel appear, you might say hi, but you will not bow. Okay? All right? So, I hope in TJC, we are in here long enough to know that. But there's a problem. Yes, we do not worship the image or the existence or the occurrence or whatever you call it. When angel appear, yes, we do not worship the angel. But there's a problem that people nowadays looking for what? Spiritual phenomena. Okay? And the appearance of the spiritual being is a supernatural phenomena. But nowadays, even members, sometimes they dwell too much upon or they pay too much attention upon the so-called supernatural phenomena occur in the church. People get very excited about anything like that. Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong to be happy about a miracle. Nothing wrong with that. But the problem is when you build your faith upon those so-called miracle and sign, you will have big problem in your journey of faith. Right? Because miracle and sign will not save you, will not bring you to heaven. Because in Gospel John, Jesus Christ said that you study the scripture, for in it is the is what? Salvation. 你们查考圣经，因为内中有永生哦。 So you study the scripture, for in it is the word of salvation. Okay? It never say that in miracle and sign you shall find salvation. No. But today, you know, people, we want to see that. We want to have, wow, if I can pray and see a vision, if I can experience that, if I can experience. You know what? Sometimes we pay too much attention to it. The year before, after the spiritual convocation, I have member came to me so excited. I was like, what happened? And he said that, Pastor, look at this picture. I took this picture. I was like, what is it? It's in the baptism site. And during the baptism, above us, there is a white image of a person in the shape of a cloud. I said, it's a cloud. But you know, you see, here is the head. You know that we are having a baptism? So, like we are standing in the water with the person, right? And then there is an image. And then you know that he got so excited. He printed out, he wanted to show people, he wanted to pass around. I just like, you know what? Thank you. Now, thank you. Just, you don't, I mean, I don't know. It does look like a person though. It does, but does it matter? For me, it doesn't matter. It could be a person. It could be a water fountain. It could be thunder. It could be anything. Does it matter? It doesn't. But when, I mean, if it's really a miracle or a vision, thank God. You know, when you see the blood turning to the water turning, all those visions are great enhancement for faith. However, if your faith is built only upon those, you are in big trouble. Okay? Today, when they are supernatural phenomena, wow, you become so fervent. This next time, when you don't have it, oh, you know what, let me go other denomination to look for it. Okay? So faith shall never be built upon angel or any supernatural phenomena. Okay? Alright, so this is a quick comparison between the angel, the differences between angel and God, and Jesus. So do not overemphasize on the value of miracle and signs. You know that in Gospel John, it says that John the Baptist never performed a single miracle in his life. Do you know that? John was considered one of the greatest workers. And Jesus Christ said that for those born of woman, no one is greater than John the Baptist. But the Bible at the same time says, John the Baptist never performed a single miracle in his life. So your value in the eyes of the Lord is not about performing miracles. It's not about seeing visions. It's all about use your life and dedicate it to a higher purpose to be used by God. Okay? All right, so that's chapter 1. Now we shall go to chapter 2. Chapter 2 is still talking about, still making a comparison between angel, between Jesus Christ and angel. But we want to look at a different portion. No? 实在是太远了,你过来一点吧。 Okay, better. All right. Okay, so if we let's go to chapter 2. From the beginning of chapter 2. Chapter 2 says, therefore we must give the more earnest hint to the things that we heard, lest we drift away. Verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Huh? Now continue. Now this is a warning. It's a warning that the message given by angel or given by the messenger. Huh? So this is a warning for us all. For that generation and also for you and I today. So now we are receiving this message. We are receiving the message from above. Okay? So here, the author continued to say, now we have received the message. There are a few things that we need to be very, very careful. Number one, do not drift away. In the Bible, there are two different types of drifting away. Okay? You know that in the Bible, many, many things, mentioned in a pair. Okay? And then for you and I to make comparison. For example, the Bible talk about lion, but you could be the lion of Judah. Right? The Lion of Judah, powerful and mighty. This is what? Jesus Christ, Lion of Judah. Right? You can also be what? The roaring lion, wandering around, looking for someone to devour. Right? So, you know, the Bible put them together for you to see which kind of lion are you turning into. Okay? There are some members who are so fierce, so ferocious. You know, fierce and ferocious. Fierce is that you are very courageous. Ferocious means that you are ready to devour. But sometimes we have members mistaken them. So they are in the church ferociously attacking other members. Right? When it comes to meeting, they pound the table, they're wow, shouting. They try to overpower and they think that they are the Lion of Judah. But in fact, they were only roaring lion, using by Satan. Okay, so in the Bible, they have many comparison like this to show that even the image of lion can go either way, So the Bible also have two different kind of drift away. The first type, the book of Ezekiel, it talk about the river of Holy Spirit. So when you drift away, it means that you are carried by the water of the Holy Spirit in any direction if you are filled by the Holy Spirit. Remember, it says that from the ankle and then to waist and then to chest until it becomes a river, it takes you. You are drifting according to the power of the Holy Spirit. But this one is not. This one is not. The one in the book of Hebrews says that you are drifting away by the current of the dragon. And that was in the book of Revelation. Right? If you go to the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 15. And here says that when the dragon, or the serpent, the old serpent, opened his mouth, and then water sprung out of his mouth and trying to wash you away. That's called the current of the dragon, or the current of the world. So in here, this drift away is talking about the current from the saliva of that of the dragon. Okay? So in here, the author reminded you and I, be very careful, because once you have received the message, you have received the message from the angel. This message is meant for you to find the pathway to heaven, okay? So now the path, the message of salvation has been given to you, but there might be reasons that we are unable to obtain at the end. Number one, when we are drifting away by the power of the world, by the power of the world. Temptation, current, fashion. You know what? When you have your heart dwell upon the earth, when your heart is, you care only about the things on the world, in the world, you are drifting away. You are drifting away. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't mean that you cannot shop. You cannot do shopping. You can. You know, Amazon member since 2000 something. You know, we all buy things. Shopping, buying things, or be nice to yourself once a while. Once a while. It's not a wrong thing. It's not a bad thing. Be nice to yourself is not wrong. When I was working, that every year, that I buy one gift for myself. I buy one gift for myself. Hey, I'm the one that work and labor and toil. So, of course, I will buy one thing to make myself happy. It doesn't matter how much, if I can afford it. All right, so I will buy one. But, you know, sometimes the thing I like might not cost. That's the only time throughout the entire year that I do not look at the price tag. I do not. Yep. So, anything wrong with that? Hey, as long as you're not doing that every day, once a year is fine. Okay, once a year is fine. So, but the thing is, when your heart is so filled with the desire of the world, every day the only thing that you want, you think is about things of the world. More, more, and more. If it's never enough, then yes, you are taken away by the current of the world. It can be your material desire. It can be your physical desire. And it can be the changing of your mindset. So I know that some of us are very into watching dramas. Okay? Watching TV, watching drama, watching series. So be careful. Because when your mind is so into it, it might start changing. Shall I say brainwash you? It might start changing your concept about many things. About many things. I heard from a sister who was very religious, very devoted. But she told me that there was a period of time she was quite involved into those secular music, 那种爱来爱去的那些啊，那个 like those love songs. 好 ，and then you know what? She tried to work, she listened to those, and she said, "Hey, come on, it's also a soft melody. What's wrong with it?" Until after a period of time, until one day she was driving, and then there's a thought popping in her mind that one night stand is pretty romantic too. And then she was in shock. Why? Because she grew up in TJC. She was very rigid about, very rigorous about what we can, like how we should think. But she said that she couldn't believe. She was actually talking to herself and feel that, hey, you know, romantic relationship, one night stand, that's pretty cool. And then because of this, when she got to work, she actually parked in the parking lot and started to contemplate what happened to her. And then she realized, because every day, listening to those, I love you, you love me, everybody love everybody thing. Huh? So because all those music slowly invaded her mind and changing her heart when she was unaware of it. So again, I'm not here to tell you what you can do or what you cannot do, but I'm telling you to be careful. Do not be taken away by the current of the world. Okay? So then here, the first warning is that we shall not drift away. Number two, here says that we shall not disobey. Disobey. This morning in the prayer session, Pastor Sam talked about the story of King Saul, right? So as we all know, Samuel said to him, disobey is the same as what? Worshipping idol. Disobey is the same as idol worshipping. Right. Why? Because when you disobey God, what does it mean? It means you are your own God. And you are worshiping yourself. And then you are the idol. You are the idol of your life when you choose to disobey the commands of God. So the Bible made it very clear of what God expects and requires of you. But when you purposely disobey the given command, it means that you are worshiping idol, which is yourself. And of course, if you worship idol, there is no salvation in you. There is no God in you, and there is no salvation in you. Okay? So disobedience is the same as the sin of idol worshiping. And then here, according to the warning from the author of the Hebrew, that when you receive the words of life from the messenger, the possibility for you to lose that hope, for you to lose the hope is, number one, you are taken away by the things of the world. Second, because you are hard-hearted, self-centered. When you read Bible, it's always, why? Do I have to? When church tell you, we should not, why? Who do you think you are? Oh, you know what? Some people, sometimes that they are, people could be very rebellious when they are very self-centered. When church give an instruction, when church give a rule and regulation, and they always respond, say, why? Why? Who are you to make that decision for me? I am the master of my life. I do whatever I want. When you have that kind of mentality, yes, idol worshiping. I'm not saying that you have to agree with everything that church asks you to do. I'm talking about when the rule and regulation is involved with spiritual principles. Okay? If in the church, we tell you, that, hey, you know what? Next time when you cook, please do not cook noodles. He's like, but I like noodles. That's not spiritual principle. That's something that you can negotiate about. You can talk about it. Okay? There are things in the church that's administrative that you should and you can express your feeling, express your concern, express your opinion. That's fine. But there are things that's pertaining to spiritual rules, spiritual realms. Then there are no rooms for it. For example, in TJC, there are certain work that we require you to be baptized for at least 3 years. Isn't it? Okay. You need to be baptized for more than 3 years to be an RE teacher. Isn't it? And then you come and say, hey, why? You know what? I'm very religious. I'm newly baptized, but I'm very, very religious. I'm well-versed. I'm more well-versed than other people. Idol worshiping. Pride occur in your heart. You care about yourself more. You care about yourself more than anyone else. Okay? So there are rules that was posted there for certain reason. Okay? And when you so emphasize on your personal feeling over the rule and regulation in the church, you are drifting away. You are disobeying. Okay? So that's the second thing. When a person disobeyed, in 2 Thessalonians, it says that you sit on the chair, sit on the altar of God and pretend that you are God. When you are doing holy work and you are giving instruction, oh, you know what? There are some principles. And you say, no. I do whatever the way I want to do. Okay? You ask me to do this, right? So my way or highway. You know, highway you should go. Yeah. Seriously speaking, I know that many of you are very, very gifted, very, very talented, very, very able. And in the church, we are really, really lacking of workers. But if the mentality of yours is that if you want me to do it, you do it in my way, please. Save yourself and save the church the trouble. Don't do it. We are very short of workers, but we don't need this kind of workers. Because the more you offer, the more God will be angry about you. Okay? The more you serve, the more the God will be angry about you. Okay? So when we serve, when we are serving in the church, you can have your opinion, you can have your idea, no problem. But you need to work, communicate. Okay? So that's the second thing. Disobedience is equal to idol worshiping. Number three. In verse three. How shall we escape if we neglect? Neglect. He said that if we neglect such a great of so great a salvation. Okay? How can we escape from it? Right? So these are three reasons why you will fail or why will we lose our the word, the message from the angel. Number one, we are taken away by the current of the world. Number two, too much of your ego, self-centered, I. It's all about I. That's the reason that angel fall. That I is all about what I want, how I want to do it. It must be my idea. It must be my way. When you have a lot of I, you become an idol. Okay? And number three is failing to pay attention. Careless. You don't really deem the message important. Yeah, it's good to be TJC. Yeah, I born in the church. I grew up in the church. Yeah. So what? When you take it lightly, take it for granted, then you know what? When you do not care about the message that was given to you, then you will not be included in the group of the saved. If you don't care, if you neglect You don't pay attention to it. What makes you think that you can be saved? You cannot. The message cannot save you when you do not care about the message at all. So only those who pay attention, who care, who obey, and who diligently follow, that's they not drift away by the current of the world. Changing life, changing mentality, changing value. Only those shall inherit the message from above and shall inherit the glory from above. Okay, let's all pray silence. Amen.